You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
Going on, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Black Is Break. Thanks for tuning in. So this episode we had recorded last week. Casey invited some of the fam over for drinks just to hang out and chill and talk. We had some great conversations going on that weren't on the mic, just, you know, kicking it. But for a minute we decided to jump on the mic and discuss some things. So in this one, the conversation starts off with us briefly talking about Netflix and how long before a film from Netflix will get recognized or will get nominated for a Best Picture. Then we jump into the meat of the conversation, which is all about Beyonce and her formation song and video and Super Bowl performance and the reaction that it got, specifically with the police and them feeling like they need to boycott her now. Kind of compare her performance to the Kendrick Lamar performance from the Grammys. That was a fun night, you know, just having some dope conversations, good times. On this episode, you had Casey, Tash, Leisha, Shelby, Julian, and myself. Make sure you're keeping up with all the shows on iTunes, on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. You can also check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. You know, leave us some reviews. We appreciate the 5-star reviews that we've gotten on iTunes. We got one recently from the homie Baylor the Great, giving us top shelf love. One of my favorite sports podcasts in the happy hour is with the brothers. Definitely a SYO podcast and very, very insightful. Not only do I wait for the sports show, but the music show as well. Keep up the great work, Baylor the Great. Shout out to you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, make sure you guys check out our other shows on the network. The show I do with my brother, the brothers, Layman Sports Happy Hour. Great sports talk, very energetic, just having a good time. Y'all will love that. I'm in the music show, turn my headphones up. A lot of good stuff you guys to check out. Make sure you're keeping up with us and letting us what you think. All right, let's get into the show. Before Netflix films officially become able to be nominated for an Oscar?
This year.
Yeah, they are?
Yeah.
Us, the Beast of No Nation.
They didn't get a nomination, but
that also means they didn't get a nomination.
There's two documentaries.
They are
a theory why they didn't get a nomination for Beast of No Nation.
I probably agree with it, but tell me.
I feel that for them to recognize it, and everything that Netflix stand for in terms of bringing out content and shrinking the windows for distributors and all of that, for them to recognize it, they're more or less agreeing with it.
I totally agree.
So because of
I
that,
totally agree.
Because they don't want to agree with it and they want to keep the old revenue streams open.
Yeah.
They purposely didn't vote or shun.
Yep. Yeah. And they know that it's like
the future.
Because
it's not going to matter one way or another.
Yeah. And it lends a legitimacy that they don't want to lend to Netflix. Like, you can win an Oscar on Netflix. Like, no, you can't. So far, you can't.
Right.
You know?
Well, didn't Netflix win an Oscar for a documentary?
They're nominated for two this year.
Weren't they nominated for
Square
last year?
Oh, yeah, Square did win, right?
But that's documentary, though.
And also, I don't know
when was the last documentary you saw.
And that's what I mean. Like, a documentary is different. But when can they actually, when do you think they will get nominated for an actual Best Picture?
Right.
Because documentaries,
documentaries
will get in first.
Yeah, they do.
And that's supposed to be a hot property. They have something else coming out that I was like, ooh, that's going to be good.
The more people that are part of the old guard in that system, the more of them that buy into that, the board will probably change. So,
yeah, I think it's a matter of time.
Yeah.
And what Cheryl Boone Isaacs did to try to change the criteria.
First of all, can we acknowledge how dope her name is?
Cheryl Boone Isaacs.
Cheryl Boone Isaacs is what? What was Cheryl Pepsi Riley, right? And then there was, who was the lady who was the lead singer of Climax? Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl Cooley.
Cheryl Cooley. And so this is like
Cheryl
Cooley, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, all and Cheryl Pepsi Riley. Like,
that's just your name is Cheryl. You got a good start.
Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Come on, how many Cheryls do we know?
Cheryl Lee Jackson? Cheryl Jackson Lee?
I don't know who that
is. She's the black Texan congresswoman.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Come on with the Cheryls.
Black Cheryls be doing it.
Okay.
Oh. Hilarious.
Yes. Okay, so formation. I think the most telling response I've seen to formation was SNL's skit about white folks realizing
that
Beyonce is black.
Right. Yeah. That SNL skit said it all. Like,
it just peeled all the layers back.
Maybe this song isn't for us. Like, but everything's for us. No, that was, that really nailed it.
I, to me, it's like two different things that come to mind for me. I enjoy Beyonce as the pops, as a pop star, and what I've come to understand a pop star to be. I do not at all have an issue with her type of artistry. I got no issues with Beyonce. There are parts of her image that I know are in conflict with a lot of us as far as an aesthetic. Well, for some of us, some people don't give two shits. But the whole idea of white is right and lighter is better and blonde and just anything looking closer to white than what we would identify as just looking black. Her image plays with that. The same kind of conversations we've had in regard to Michael Jackson and his look, although the layers are so much deeper. But anyway, I feel like when she does things, anytime she does something, the think pieces that come out crack me up because people sometimes dive real deep into what they think went into the thought process of what she created. And the thing is, I don't disagree with them all the time. I just find it funny how deep they sometimes dive. I think Beyonce is smarter than a lot of people give her credit for, or that the team that surround her is very, very smart. And I do think a lot of the things that come out of people's unpacking of what she does is real, is real and is true. I think some of it comes maybe from her energy, but I think she has a team that knows what they're doing in regards to shaping the brand that is Beyonce. And she's co-signing on it. And so...
Well, okay, so I'm going to... I enjoyed the Super Bowl performance, and you actually hipped me to the fact that there was a director who was like, oh, she stole my video, like, frame for frame. And, like, you know, these images were something. And so the originality of it,
But it comes to find out that they don't really own the footage.
Yeah, they don't own the footage, but... You know what? You can hire someone to do a documentary for you and then use that footage in order to incorporate it in another project, a music video of yours. But it does say something about your artistry when you don't include any writing rights. Like a music video for directors, you can't say co-directed by, you know, or you could, you she could have. She could have said co-directed by the person who initially conceptualized these frames, and, these pictures.
And recorded it.
Yeah, and just put that on the, you know, on the credits. But she didn't, and that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But you're right. Yeah. She
And in the same vein, when her tour was announced, and them damn ticket prices. I'm like, this, like, to me, is a big old slice through what you just did.
Because totally. It seemed as if it was all for commercial.
Exactly.
Where people cut cut her down is for like, oh, well, this is just all for commerciality. Who knows how authentic the message was. I want to say two things. The first thing was, I didn't know that they were supposed to be Black Panthers when they came marching out on the thing. That completely went over my head.
I missed that too.
I did not see any of the pictures on social media. Once I saw the pictures on social media and I saw the sisters with the afros and the berets, but literally because her outfit looked like Michael Jackson,
yeah.
I thought her dancers were like Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation. So I thought it was Rhythm Nation is militant.
Mm-hmm.
But Black Panthers, like, and even the fact that the Carolina Panthers were playing completely went over my head. So I have to say I was a bad student by not seeing the layers
too.
There.
I missed that too.
But the second thing I want to say is I want to juxtapose Formation compared to Kendrick Lamar's performance as a piece of art. And I feel as if one, and God bless you, Beyonce, but I am about to clown. one is the version that someone who identifies with a romanticized version of Creole would put out. Like, yes, I'm multicultural, I'm Creole, I got Indian, and I got French, and I got white in my blood.
Playing
the Creole part. Right. And mind you, I'm very aware that Creoles, that's a real culture. So
yes,
I'm not
downing
ethnicity,
right. Not race.
Oh, but we like
right,
to play.
Right. That, but that's a real culture, and I love the fact that they hold on to their culture and they know what's up. But it is also a part of me as a regular African American is like, y'all niggas ain't special. You still niggas. You know, like,
exactly.
It's because you have
same race. You're all the same race.
Right. Half whatever.
Oh, it's cool.
This passage.
You still a nigga.
Exactly.
Yeah,
no.
This passage. I don't care. I don't care about the haughty, the upper echelon level of blackness that you guys once occupied during the Louisiana Purchase. Fuck that. Fuck you. And let's move it on.
And no, really, I was occupy, acknowledge- that's arguable anyway. Really.
No, I mean, they really had that. I mean, like, honestly, a lot of kids, you know, when the Louisiana Purchase happened, part of the deal was that we can't have free blacks walking around. So a lot of those people sent their kids, their black kids, like, you know, because the French were allowed to marry a black woman and their kids were Catholic and they grew up and they got properly educated, and they sent their kids to France after the Louisiana Purchase to be educated because they didn't want their kids being slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have a rarefied history within the United
my
States.
My point is just it's still not white is my point.
Right,
like
right.
There still is a difference regardless of whether you want to lift yourself up. You're still not as high as
I'm exactly with you there.
Yeah.
And my point is that Kendrick's protest performance, if we want to call Beyonce's Super Bowl performance a protest performance, or we want to call her video a protest video, was so much more connected to the roots, the souls of black folk. And I just found it funny that, like, where people were lauding, just drawing a really clear connection between the tribe in Compton and the tribe in Africa. Or different tribes in Africa, and really drawing connection between enslaving folks and the struggle that we have nowadays between wearing thigh-high boots and booty shorts and, like, shaking your ass and being like, I have hot sauce. I mean, it was almost, you know, I mean, I think the most progressive thing she said was that, you know, I like my baby's hair in an afro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And that I like big noses, you know, and...
Mm-hmm.
But
I get you, and I heard this argument on Twitter. Somebody said that I want to comment on. There's things playing in Kendrick's favor. One is he's already been down this road. Like he's done it.
This is not new territory.
Yeah,
he's mining.
Not, yeah,
so
he's not
when
new
Beyonce
territory.
Mines it, we
no,
think
not,
about
it's,
it.
But it's more.
Are
he's
you
a,
mining
he's
it
a,
for commercial?
He's
products?
A, he's a guy. She's a woman.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
She's a pop star. He's not. He's
that's fair.
He's
too.
In a
that's
hip hop market where it's more aggressive. Not that you brought it up with the whole Creole thing. He's dark skinned. Like, she's a pop star. She is a endorser. Like Princess, I can, yeah. She can sell products. Kendrick Lamar is not going to play the Super Bowl. He may, when they're ready to allow a rapper to do it. The reason I thought about what somebody said, all right, Big City Elliott. Missy Elliott makes dance hip hop. And for the Super Bowl, that works. Yeah, right. She's not.
She's another brand.
Yeah, plus, like, you could also argue, since we trying to get heavy, her look is not threatening. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, she came on. No,
she's not considered standard beautiful. According by American standards, but I mean, Kendrick, not
like,
by black.
But no, but look, like Kendrick Lamar, the way he came, you know, Kendrick Lamar likes to say something and speak out. Beyonce, I mean, I'm, like when you brought up the fact, I didn't notice their outfits either, because I mean, she comes out. Look, let's be real. I mean, she comes out. You know it's Beyonce. You know it's gonna dance. It's like her and 20 black chicks, and all I know you kind of natural. They got their legs showing, and they were popping. Like to me, I noticed them twerking on television. I thought it was gonna be like. I was like, they're literally shaking their ass to the camera at the Super Bowl. Post-Janet. This is really risque. I mean, I'm like, fine. I mean, if you want to do it, that's fine. That's Beyonce. But I was like, wow. I didn't expect them to be like, oh, it's a black thing.
Did you see the video the day before?
Yes.
That's interesting, because when I saw that video, it's both things together. When I saw that video and I knew that she was performing the song the next day at the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I said, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What is she going to do?
Me too.
And when I saw her come out and I saw those girls, the first thing I saw were the berets. And I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. What the hell happened with Beyonce? Been, like, and then... When I saw the X, I saw it, but maybe, like, I think I was so focused on what is she about to do, mm-hmm. and I'm also probably one of the few people who were like, get off Beyonce's back, like, she doesn't have to be a political figure,
mm-hmm.
so when I saw her doing something that was in such contrast to what she normally does, and by the way, her song isn't corny, but it's still kind of corny. Like, it's still Beyonce.
Yeah.
Come on, ladies, let's get information. Right. Like, get your information. Like, right. She's still Beyonce. Like, people were just doing the most. And this is part of the reason why she maybe didn't do something before. Because even with this, people are shredding this woman. Yeah. Like, she can't win for losing.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, to your point, Tash, Beyonce's doing what I expect Beyonce to do as a pop artist. True. This is marketing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is what she's supposed to do. This is what big companies do. You know what I mean? So her capitalizing off of what she's doing is smart marketing from a business perspective. I think she takes the shit really, really far. If I can see Prince for $25, Beyonce, there's no way anybody should be paying $600, $700, $800.
Hold on, some of that money to the folks in Flint.
Prince made money before the music industry started losing money.
But when it comes to consumerism, I'm not so much mad at the brand as I am mad at the people. We control what we choose to spend our money on, motherfucker. If you taking your tax money to see Beyonce. True. I'm side-eyeing you, unless you have it like that.
How much are the tickets?
It seemed like
the ones that went around was like $3,600 front row, so $7,200.
I've seen one where it's like you're paying like I think like at least basically $2,000 for like front row shit.
Okay, hold on. For a Beyonce concert, just in all fairness, and for a Beyonce concert, you cannot take the price of the front row and just blanket the entire concert.
No,
there are tickets for way less. Then
less
$2,000.
$100 is
and
no
you can't place. Check anymore because the tickets.
Yeah, even
the tickets are now sold out. So everything you see
no,
now,
no, to find out.
No,
basically, I don't think there's anything under $200.
Yeah, from what I've seen,
which is very high. And when you really consider who Beyonce's fans are, I mean, you know that it's not her true fans that are seeing her, and that's what's sad about it.
Yeah,
I think.
They are. They're the ones paying all the money.
Spend their money.
Spending their rent.
That's the other part. That's the other piece to the story.
But think about the ones that don't even have that to do.
And they can't go.
There are many like that. That don't even, can't even scrape that together. But no, not any big artist has $200 as the minimum. That's not the norm.
$50 tickets? No.
But the
it didn't happen.
I'm just saying that's not the norm. That's all I'm saying. That is not the norm.
But the reality for a star of the magnitude of Beyonce, she's not going to have a lot of cheap tickets. That's just not.
But that's by choice. I mean, I think that's hard to argue that has to be the case. She has all. There's no reason that I can think of outside of making money. Why it has to be that way?
Why do you?
I
cannot.
No, but the thing is, but that's the point.
Yeah, if I was, but if I was a multi-millionaire,
if I'm the
and I believe in what I'm doing, then I want the most amount of people to be able to see me that are actually my real fans, and like I can afford it. That's the whole point of doing what I do.
But you're an artist in the music.
She's trying to make,
but she's trying like. The venue is like everybody else. Fine. Beyonce wants to do that. Everybody else who's involved in making money is like, if a motherfucker is going to pay $2,000 for these seats,
capitalism.
If somebody,
that's up to the artist. Let's think about a group like Pearl Jam. Remember back in the day, and they refused to participate with Ticketmaster because they were charged such exorbitant fees on their tickets.
But the thing is,
I'm just saying you can take a stand.
She's on top.
It's not impossible.
You can, but
she's on top.
The thing is, she has all these...
to take a stand, in my opinion. But like, she can say whatever she wants. She can dictate anything.
If you're talking about formation, this is when you need to get your crew in the formation and take a stand.
But
this is, I agree with that, too. The thing about it, though, and this is the reason why I don't try to cut down people digging deep and seeing all these messages is because Beyonce's reach is so wide and vast. There are little poor girls, boys who worship her and can't see her, but they can see her and listen to the stuff that she's saying. And if she's saying Creole and hot sauce and Negro nose and all of that resonates with those young folk and it makes them feel some kind of way and empowered in regard to their blackness, even if she's raping the fucking system, because she is. Thank you for sending the message. She can stream on title. Well, I agree, but that's why
I've always argued that I feel like she should sort of voice because of her reach.
I have to say this. Yes, but even though the young kids, according to a friend of mine, aren't getting the highest element of her message.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Apparently that's
the twerking would be a distraction.
No, some educators have decided to ask, let's deconstruct this. What do you think about, you know, this music video, especially in light of, you know, Black Lives Matter? And, you know, the answers are still like, it's good. I like it. She looked cute. You know, blah, blah, blah. But I do have to say, if for anything, she exposes folks to activism and what that means, it requires that you not just consume the video, but that there be an instructive conversation about it afterwards, so that they know that like real people on the front line of activism, you know, are, you know, the Shirley Chisholms, the Fannie Lou Hamers, the, you know, there's so many black women who are truly out there pushing the guard as far as rights of black people. I wouldn't ever make that equivalency with Beyonce, but if this video helps people become more conscious and educated about black history, then good for her.
I mean, it was for her, it was bold.
It's the most she's done so far.
And the argument is what is when you're feeling like she should say something, she has that platform. The other side of that is that we're not going through what she's going through now, which is she did something that really was very, and for us, like that was small. It wasn't like some grand thing, but I'm like, but it's like,
supposed to be
she dropped a little pebble in the ocean, and those people who don't like it reacted like she dropped a fucking glacier in it.
And that's the part that's even more important, the point. The reaction that she is getting is really what we want those young ones that's being empowered. And the thing is, I know it seems like they're not getting any of this, but it's going to have an impact.
But let's put it in perspective. They had this rally, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and like they said, how many people showed up?
Three.
Okay, so three people
late
showed up outraged. Okay, so it's like a lot of noise. But it's not like for real. Do you know what I'm saying?
Too much on that rally because I don't give a shit about the damn rally. I give a shit about these police organizations taking a stand. Motherfucker, you work for me. Right. You are a public servant. You work for me. How fucking dare you say you're not going to come to this concert and protect the community that's coming to this concert because you don't like what she said? We do have freedom of speech and expression of art. And you're telling me because you don't like what Beyonce said that you're not going to protect this concert?
You're taking it
well,
that
I
deep.
Agree with that, of course.
Like, that's fucked
you're
up.
You're taking that deep. They looked at the, that imagery scared motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. That's why I said the team who's behind her, yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and they dropped it because we did see, I saw it all that Saturday. So I watched it. I was like most black people in America was like, she going to do this song. Yeah. Like, you do not drop a new song the day before you're about to be performing on the biggest sports shit and be like, well, I'm not just going to do that song. Like, motherfucker, why did you drop it then? Why would you drop that song and then not give it to me? So yeah, we saw all the video. We saw now, you know, they sensitive. So any little thing, the fact that she's on a car in the water and it's sinking, the fact that you're putting on there that says stop shooting us, you know, when you put that on there and make that video, you know damn well in this country, the police are going to respond. So, and everybody, and we've, and it's hard, I got to say, I give it a props because it's hard to be on the front line and do some shit like that. That is, their reaction is why everybody don't speak out because it's like, if I just say, all I did was drop a fucking pebble in the ocean and you're about to fucking kill the same shit. You do something small, I'm going to overreact and punish you.
I don't
so you never go do it again.
Why
this is
any
the same
police
shit.
Officer would have any problem with what she said. It seems as if the good guys, which we keep hearing that most of the police are, would understand that there is inherent a bias that, you know, studies after studies have showed against black folk that lead to certain, you know, misfires against black folk. And that's all she's talking about. And any police union worth their salt, I don't understand why police unions defend and protect bad police officers.
Because they're a gang. Like, you don't. Everything that you.
Yeah, I just
everything
understand
that we're
why
told.
Teachers unions protect bad teachers. Like, get them the fuck out. Because. And we are not protecting them. And I know each member of the union increases your membership fees and whatever. But at some point, you got to think about the sanctity of the entire body. And if someone is rotting the entire body from on the inside, either the entire body is rotten or you want to get rid of the disease and the poison factor so quickly that you're like, they got to go.
Yeah, but they controlling and it's that fear factor and they are a gang. It's sad. Like, okay, I always go back to recently, I don't know who he was, the politician in New York, who told his black son
Mayor
to, yeah, to basically say, just tell his son, you know what, be careful around the cops. That's all he said. He didn't say they were going to harm you. He didn't say none of that. He was just like, be careful, make sure you listen to them, you know, okay, because I don't want nothing to happen to you. They flipped the fuck out. After I saw that, I was like, really? He's telling his son, he's helping you. This is what you tell us to tell our children. He tells them that, and you're pissed about it. Like, oh, shit, are you trying to say something going to happen to him if we're around him? Like,
because
motherfucker,
body,
because this happened.
Because as a body, they're in denial that stop and frisk is used against black folks. You know, they're in denial about the fact that certain police tactics are used in black communities and they think it's just the high crime communities where it's like, no, the folks using the drugs, you know, are in equal communities. You're labeling this based off of bias. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't actually line up with what we know about about the crimes that are being committed. And I don't know. It's just one of those things where as a union, the police union, someone wrote on Facebook the other day that, or maybe it was on Instagram or something, like, someone famous has a quote, like, policians are the front line. Oh, it was Sean King. Mm-hmm. He said the policians have become the front line for white supremacy in this country.
No, I heard that recently, yeah.
And I'm just like, I had to really think about that.
Because they want us to trust them. That's the thing. Any bad press makes people of color not want to trust them. And they want
you
us to
trust. Any bad press? You mean years of experience?
Well, it makes
well years of experience, but I mean really any pushing of the fact that just they're over. They want in general, even though we hear those sorts of things, to believe that most cops aren't like that. So the bad press does not help. That's why people get victimized.
The truth doesn't help.
If you knew for a fact that every single time you interacted with a policeman, the chances of you getting hurt versus you getting away safe were greater, you would avoid them at all costs. But we want to inherently believe that most of them are good. So if they pull up behind us, we're compliant and we actually pull over and hope to get out of the situation unscathed. When in actuality, what we're learning, people do that. And they find themselves dead.
Well, it's the same thing with why after we hear an unarmed person, black, white, whatever, has been shot, that, you know, a day, 2 days later, that we get news stories about, well, who really was this person? What was their crime history? Or what did they do to aggravate the situation? It's because the police union, being concerned about the bad press by hearing that an unarmed civilian has gotten shot, they have a publicity team. And the publicity seems out news presses releases. And it's like, well, you know, it's a hard job. These people are putting themselves on the front line. But let's take a look at the victim here, the assailant. You start to victim blame at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I want to play devil's advocate. I think that it's important. I think police unions are disgusting, personally.
That, you're not playing devil's advocate yet.
I know.
Oh, okay.
But at the same time, when you have a cop that has not been convicted in the court of law, I think that there is probably some sort of duty on the part of the union to stay loyal to its members until the point that they're like necessarily a convicted criminal, which we know happens very rarely. Wait, I want to say more. And so I think that there probably is that aspect as far as why they stay so ridiculously loyal and come up. Now, that does not defend the things that they defend or the things that they say, the insinuations they make, but by any means. I'm just like thinking of why they might like stick to that course, even though it's obviously incorrect. And crap, I forgot the other thing I was going to say.
Here's what I was going to say. Yes, okay, there might be an inciting incident or an incident that gets it into charges being pressed. An indictment is so hard against a cop to begin with. Right. And so they still have to protect them before they are tried in a court of law. But normally within police ranks, there are reputations that, you know, what people are like. There have been previous complaints filed and you can figure out.
But it's like a defense attorney. Like a defense attorney is going to defend their client no matter what.
I agree. But maybe then I'm talking not just about the police unions, but the upper ranks, the leadership within police departments. I'm thinking about the two guys, the two police officers who were charged with sexual assault in L.A. and recently, and they were just put on, even though the charges first came up in 2008, and they were only put on unpaid leave into 2013, but they had multiple women saying they were raped and sexually assaulted by these officers, forcing them to, you know, perform sexual favors and not turn them in. And these guys stayed on the fucking force since from 2008 to 2013. That's 5 years. And not until LA Times wrote a huge expose piece. You can't tell me. And the internal affairs dropped the case one time and now they picked it back up and they're indicted.
Agree. Yeah. I agree. I just think that you cannot expect reasonably the police to police themselves or the union to police them. Like, we need a separate something. Yeah. I can't say. I mean, yes, that we cannot rely. That's, they're doing, in my opinion, not any kind of like noble act by any means, but like just like as a lawyer, like I wouldn't want to defend a child molester, but I do understand that there's lawyers that do, and that's their job,
because they get paid they to have do a it. Right to do it. I exactly. mean they're in, you know, it says in their thing, they're, you know, you can get an attorney.
I'm somebody just saying that there needs to be oversight. I'm not denying them. That I'm just right. saying then we can't expect the union to do it
needs to be separate than the folks that of they course. Work with and when yeah. they want indictment.
But that's criminals. The point. I mean, yeah, that's yeah. really the point. Is I'm just saying, like, we can't expect the union to be like, yes, our members are guilty and should be tried. And, you know, they go to extremes.
They know, though,
don't
if
get
they are guilty.
Yeah, but they're not going to police their own house.
They can't say it.
They're,
yeah,
not, yeah.
They can't.
They're not an attorney. They're union. A union.
But those people pay them to represent them. Yeah, that's the whole process. Yeah, the thing I mean, is, it's just like.
There's also, like, with the police. The police departments across the country, they also feel like there's a brotherhood that doesn't exist, that exists above law. And I think it's similar to like people who go to war together, and they feel like mm-hmm. the camaraderie and the brotherhood that exists between them supersedes all of that. And that even when one messes up, it's just different. And which is why it's so important to have a separate body.
But Chris brought up this
point. Because
you
cannot. Okay.
That brotherhood still allows them to be like, you can't snitch on a fellow brother. And it's like,
but that's
snitches
exactly
get
point,
stitches.
Why,
and so that makes them a gang in that sense. Because these people, it's not like.
That's Leisha's point, though.
It's not like these people. These people are charged with the responsibility. We fund them. And they're charged with the responsibility of protecting us. And they do put themselves in harm's way, but they get paid pretty well for it. And the pay aside is something that they sign up for. But when, exactly. in fact, you are charged with responsibility, you have to be held to a higher standard yeah. than the regular folks.
But that's what we're saying. Hold them to a higher standard. Yeah. Don't let don't leave it to them to hold themselves to the higher standard. Yeah. But, I mean, they're not going to do it. Nobody's – that's human nature.
Yeah, you need them to police. I mean, you're asking these guys to police civilians because you don't think they can police themselves. Like, okay, well, that needs to apply to you as well. But, you know, like we keep saying with the whole power thing, like, I'm not – if they can fight it, they're going to. Like, I can police myself. I don't need you over me telling me what I can and cannot do. Okay, I'm going to keep it that way as much as I can because I'm doing it to somebody else. No, I don't want it. Like, I'm being a bully. I don't want to be bullied. Shit. You know, I want to keep bullying somebody.
And the resistance to the oversight
they made it known.
What is really the most offensive thing, if you think about it, like this argument of like, we shouldn't have to wear cameras because it's going to impede how we behave, because how you behave is not appropriate for the cameras. And so that's what's more offensive to me than like,
that's so simple.
Yeah. Then like the defending the bad behavior is like what I expect to an extent, but like, defying or like arguing that they shouldn't be supervised is we're like, okay, now there's like malicious intent because you know that what you're doing is wrong, as I believe that they know anyway, but it's just like in reinforcing that
well,
that it's obvious
above the law.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
But then
completely.
If you think you're above the law, then you don't think what you're doing is wrong. You think you've earned it. It's an entitlement for some reason that you're above the law because you have put yourself out there on the line.
But you still know that you don't want to be filmed. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're above the law to an extent. At the same time, you know that were it to actually be,
you
like,
you know there
revealed,
is still a law.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That then, okay, then there's problems, you know? So, whatever.
What did you guys think of Kendrick's performance? Which, unfortunately, somebody posted an article where apparently he got the idea from Dice Raw. I didn't know Dice Raw had some performance he was putting together that apparently very similar to Kendrick's.
I didn't either.
I didn't know that.
Let me see if I can find it. But what did you guys think of what he did?
He continues to go there. Which I appreciate. You know, he came out, it was different, and he was trying to say something and make a message and, you know, having them come out in chains and, you know, with how his whole album has been. So that's just, it's just continuation of what he's been saying on his album. The African dancers was very cool. And just we've seen what Beyonce did, but he's doing like, yo, I've been doing this and I'm gonna do it. This is what I do. I loved it. You know, he's continuing to go there, and you know, I know people are gonna say some comments or whatever, but you know, he's doing it at the Grammys. You already know he's gonna come with something different, and you've heard the album. Everybody likes it, you know. So you knew he was gonna come with something. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really good performance. He never really disappoints me with his performances. He is pretty creative. I will say whether he got the idea from what's his name, Dice Raw.
Dice Raw. Mm-hmm.
I really, and I'm not a creative. You know, I'm not a so-called artist, but I do have a belief that once you create art mm-hmm. and release it, mm-hmm. other people should be able to use that art as well.
Interpret it.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't receive credit, mm-hmm. but in the reality of the way these two pieces that we're discussing are being presented, mm-hmm. I didn't even know Melina directed Beyonce's video and don't care, you know. So when the controversy came up, I was like, all right, you know, but I understand, because to me the point of it all isn't who direct, like the power of that video was not in who directed it. And if Kendrick was inspired by something that he saw, to me that's okay. If someone asks him if he was inspired by something and he says no, that's not okay.
This is what Dice Raw said. He said, I know Kendrick don't know he bit my play, but the person who told him to do that does. I'm not mad at Kendrick Lamar. Fight mass incarceration. That's what he tweeted. Which is probably the case. He mm-hmm. probably has somebody that gave him an idea, but apparently Dice Raw did a mass incarceration hip-hop musical, or a hip-hop musical about mass incarceration called The Last Jimmy, a live play that showed in Los Angeles last year. Raw started it as well and wrote original music and lyrics for the production. And apparently it starts off the same way with guys coming in chains and the whole prison background and everything. So
there's one more thing I want to say.
I want to see Dice Raw's thing. I'm like, oh shit, how we missed that?
Right. I want to say one more thing because because we have a tendency to attack the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look. The artist.
Always defend the artist.
Well, because we need to be attacking. Okay, so it was okay to attack Melina. Melina was the person that should have been attacked. But the reality is, even those, I can't remember their names right now, they were like, oh, Beyonce, you didn't have this much money. Oh, Beyonce, Beyonce. Look, when someone gets ready to make a video, mm-hmm. different people submit a treatment. Like, they submit right. their idea right. for the video.
Right.
The artist says, ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look, they're not going into all the research and the art and the... And
that's
I'm
not true.
Hold
Sometimes
on.
Sometimes the artist says they're very clear about what they want for the song.
I wasn't done. Oh, okay. All right. I wasn't done. Very rarely does an artist come up with their own idea for the video. Because even when they present
that's not
their
true
own...
Either.
Even when they present their own idea for a video, more often than not, not just the label, a lot of people come in and change it, shape it, redo it. It's very rare that an artist is like, I'm gonna do this, and it, you know, Lady Gaga, she's the magnitude of her.
Beyonce.
The magnitude of her. And even her,
that's
she wasn't...
Talking about
but I'm magnitude. Saying she didn't... So you're saying that Beyonce came with that idea herself. It wasn't Melina. Beyonce came with that idea. All I was saying is that it's not fair to attack the artist. There's a creative team that comes together to put these pieces together. It's not just the artist, and it's not fair to attack them. I understand their name is on it. I understand they're the one performing, but I don't think it's fair because, like that guy said, Kendrick may not have even known. Like, he may not have any idea, and yet there were so many people who were really ready to call him a thief, and that's not fair.
Well, I can give you a certain amount of of Latitude was saying it's not fair to automatically call the artist a thief. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying in response to what you're saying is that the artist's touch and direction on the video isn't as light-handed as you would suggest, especially an artist of a huge magnitude. A lot of times they just get a director for hire. They have the vision. They like this person. They like the way they do fashion films. They like the way they shoot and the way it looks. And they say, well, this is the video I want, and execute it. And they, you know, they're in pre-production and they're doing storyboards. I'm like, no, 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 I don't like that. And it's almost as if the artist has directed it, even though it has an actual physical director. And I'm just saying that doesn't happen as infrequently as you would think. It's true. Sometimes they take pitches from multiple directors and go with the best one that they like. But a lot of times, the inspiration for a music video can come from the artist directly.
I
don't think we are disagreeing here.
Right. I'm like,
okay,
I don't.
Okay, then. All right.
Such an ass. But, you know, I mean, whatever, Tash. Oh, Lord Jesus.
I'm looking at what Dice Raw looks like. Let's see if it's similar.
I don't know.
It really hurts my feelings if, in fact, someone in Kendrick's camp knowingly.
And innocent. They got caught up in dumbass predicaments.
Knowingly bit.
And that's also a thing that we have to be very careful about. Like, maybe Dice Raw invited someone from Kendrick's camp and expected that they came and saw it. And this person probably acted as if they came and saw it but didn't, just read the reviews. And who's to say that this wasn't Kendrick's idea himself? Like, no, I want to show the incarceration. It's so hard to trace origins of stuff like this.
Yeah, there's a very, very crazy independent creation that happened.
Independent, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
nothing I'm seeing here looks like Kendrick's performance, though.
I'm trying to see where I saw the guy standing here in chains.
And the other thing is, do you know how many things have started, not to be, how many things have started with somebody walking in chains? Like, that, is that such a independent?
Right, no.
I don't, that was a literal question. I'm asking.
No, it's not. It's not copyrightable. What?
You know, one of my favorite things that just happened was Lionel Richie. Somebody asked him about Adele saying hello, and his response was, how many ways can you say hello?
Right.
Like, just, I think I'm probably more infuriated with people trying to act like they really own something when it's not that hard to duplicate. You know, it's not so hard for us to have a similar idea. There are only so many ways you can say a certain thing. There's only, like, I just think that
it seemed like Kendrick really threaded a narrative.
I agree.
Like, there was, you know, incarceration. You know, there was Africa. There was.
That's what his. He's been saying it all in his album. You know, then he did All Right and Meatballs, and he had another Untitled where he was going, which was new.
Right. Yeah.
And I couldn't fully understand it, but I know he's saying something in it.
Right.
And you're like, okay, you know, now he may go back to being more street dude next album, but I'm like, for what he's been doing now, I appreciate it.
Right. Kendrick? Yeah. He has now 3 untitled songs, and I'd like to know
where I can get them. That first one that he did with Thundercat and Anna Wise.
That one was bang.
Amazing. And I'm like, where are these songs? Every time he does a performance now, he does an untitled track. That's on the project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very talented. I'm most interested to see where he's going to be in a few years. Not a few years, I'd say about 10 years. Yeah.
In prison.
Nice touch.
Why do you think that? Just random.
I'm just talking shit.
Okay.
I'm so tired.
Yeah. It's kicked me.
It's hilarious.
Episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. You can message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again. We'll be right back.